Hey, everybody. If you have not seen me beardless, here you go. This is me for a while. It's an experiment. So maybe by the next time you see me in person, I will have a beard down here. I'm not sure. But oh, man, I miss seeing you guys so much. I miss seeing your face. I miss hanging out with you, shaking your hand, talking to you. And, you know, we're praying that this changes quickly. And so I want you to join with me and pray for that. But I'm honored to be here with a couple of our friends at Promised Land. And I'm so thankful for our worship team to continue to lead us in worship during this season. We've heard so many things that are troubling across the world. So many news stories that just keep hitting us one after the other. And it seems like every time we turn around, travel is restricted and business is restricted, and it just keeps getting worse and worse. So there's a couple things I want to tell you today, a couple facts. And one is that this kind of trouble is really not new to the world. In fact, many other areas of the world have experienced trouble like this, like in Asia and Europe and Africa. They've gone through, you know, the worst parts of the world wars and through plagues and seeing millions of people die and jobs lost and economies crashed. It's unprecedented in America in the last century. But really, troubling times have hit the world many, many times. For thousands of years, humans have experienced troubling times. So that's a fact. Another fact that's equally as important is that the Bible does not shy away from dealing with trouble. And Jesus also does not avoid talking about or walking through trouble either. So what I want us to do, I want to start today's little talk with this. I want you to think about the part of this issue that's the most troubling to you. So if you could wave your magic wand and fix one part of this situation that we're dealing with, what would that be? So what's the area that's causing you the most trouble? It could be that, you know, it's the physical threat against you or your family. Maybe it's a financial issue, a business that's closing, or you're not sure if you can make a payment or not. For others, it may not be that you're physically or personally struggling with it, but maybe you're worried about other people. So whatever that is, as I tell you some of these stories about Jesus, I want you to see that trouble, that situation, through this lens of Jesus. It's a story I want to tell you about Jesus and Mary. But this is not the mother of Jesus, Mary. This is another Mary. Now, the Bible has many different Marys in the Gospels, and this particular Mary and Jesus have several episodes, and I want to share this story because this particular Mary was really, really good at being in the moment. And this story starts 6 days before Passover, so Jesus was about to go through what we call Holy Week, and interesting enough, our calendar year right now, we're about to go through Holy Week very soon. So Jesus was in this moment having dinner with Mary, her sister Martha, her brother Lazarus. They were in a house of Simon the leper. The disciples were there. Many, many other people were there. And right after dinner, Mary does something really, really interesting, very, very profound. She pulls out a family heirloom, and it contains a very, very valuable asset. In fact, the Bible says that it was worth a year's salary that she pulled out, and it was in an alabaster box, which alabaster is like a natural mineral of the earth, and it looks kind of like marble, so it's like a little marble box that she opened, and inside this box was very, very expensive perfume. And this is what John 12:3 says. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard, which nard was from the northern part of India. And so think about how costly it would have been at that day and time to go from northern India all the way over to Israel and sell this product. So it's very expensive. She took it and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, and then she wiped it with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance. Now, I have with me right here a jar of modern day cologne. And I looked on the bottom and it says that this is 1.7 ounces. Now, I used to be big into cologne, you know, and I would wear cologne all the time. And now my sons wear it. And so they get in the car and they're like, "Dad, let me have some of your cologne." And so they'll spray a spray and they're like spraying it all. I'm like, "Wait, hang on a second. Just two or three sprays of that is enough." And I can't imagine if they broke this bottle of 1.7 ounces and poured it into my truck or poured it on me or whatever. Mary took 8 times the amount of this. So it was 12 ounces. So it was 8 times the amount of this. And she poured it all out upon Jesus and, you know, rubbed it, washed his feet with it. And then as she's concluding, she takes her own hair and undoes her hair from her head and begins to wipe his feet with her hair. So I want you to imagine how much of this substance was on his feet and how much was on her hair. A lot. And the Bible says, we just read it, the house was filled with the fragrance. And those of us in the room can smell now the little puff of the cologne that I just did. And Judas speaks up. And Judas says, "This perfume was a year's worth of wages, and it should have been taken and sold, and we could have taken that money and given it to the poor." And he's just trying to think in the future. He's trying to think about other things that could be done with this money. And Jesus responds so clearly to him, and it says everything. Jesus's response, Jesus replied, this is John 12 and 7, "Leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." And when you hear that statement, it kind of feels like Jesus may be a little insensitive to the poor, but that's not what he's saying. This is a paraphrase of what he was saying. As for the poor, yes, you should take care of them. However, you're going to have that opportunity for the rest of your life. You can take care of the poor for the rest of your life, but you are not going to have me in your house for very much longer. I'm only going to be here for a few more days, because Jesus knew he was about to go to his death. Be in this moment right here. Instead of being so focused on the future and what could happen or what needs to happen days from now, years from now, Jesus wants them to stop and just realize that this is important. And this moment with Jesus and Mary and the disciples teaches us something that we need to apply to our life right now. It's a principle that is so profound, it rings true in 2020. Jesus wants us to be present in the moment. He wants us to be right here, right now. He wants us to be present in the moment. Now, if I told you before you logged on today that this powerful message I was going to give to you was just to be present in the moment, some of you would have been like, "Okay, I'm not watching today. I'm going to skip out." But what if, listen to me, what if this seemingly benign truth is exactly what we all need in order to find peace in 2020? It could be that what Jesus is teaching Judas and Martha and Lazarus, that all these people in the home, it could be what is the exact thing that we need in our life right now. Last week, I received something at my house that was 4 years in the making. And my publisher sent me 10 copies of a book that I wrote. And it I opened the box and it's got my name on the bottom. And I couldn't believe it. But it was so hard for me to be in the moment and enjoy this package because I was being surrounded by all this terrible news that was going on. And so literally the day that I got the box, I knew what it was, but I honestly didn't want to open it because I thought, I don't want to waste this moment with all this tragedy that's going on. But I did open it. And I surrounded, you know, my family. We opened up the box. And these are like demo books. The book's going to be available to the public months from now. But I want to read you a little excerpt from this because it just seemingly goes so well with what we're going through. Picture the reality of this moment with Jesus. Jesus was well aware of his path toward death. The pressure of the cross loomed in the distant horizon. He was to face accusation, persecution. In just a few days, Jesus will be drugged to the town square and brutally murdered in front of crying family and friends, embarrassed strangers, and laughing enemies. His diagnosis ended in being nailed physically to a cross, suspended on display in shame and failure for the world to see. His end was capital punishment in a cruel Roman world. He knew that the cross was inescapable, and all that would happen in 6 days. 6 days from now. Yet Jesus is eating and hanging out with his disciples. He's relaxed and in the moment. Can you imagine what you and I would be doing in that moment? I would be freaking out. I'd be like, 6 days from now, I'm dying. Do you have the money ready? Do you have the equipment ready? Do you have the supplies ready? You know, do you know the words to say? Okay, let's repeat. Repeat after me. What? How do you give the good news to people? Don't embarrass me. I mean, I'd be like going through all this stuff because I know I'm about to die. Not only the pressure of like, is this church going to make it? Are these guys going to be able to carry on the good news and the ministry that Jesus started? But he's thinking through the pain and suffering that he's about to experience just days from now. And Jesus is just eating with his friends. And he's just in the moment. So I want to encourage you today. I want us to reject the sentiment of Judas. And I want us to quit asking ourselves, what's going to happen? How are we going to do this? Jesus' response to us is the same response that he gave to his friends in that season. You will have plenty of time to do all these things that you're worried about. In fact, I just want to speak to those of you that are worried about your work. You're going to have plenty of time to work the rest of your life. You're going to have plenty of time to make money the rest of your life. What is in the moment with you right now that you're not focused on because you're so focused on the future of what may or may not happen? Be in the moment here, as Jesus is saying, be in this moment with me. In the sixth chapter of Matthew, Jesus preaches his most famous sermon ever. And he tells us a couple things about that, about this message in that sermon. The first is when he teaches us how to pray in Matthew 6:11. He says, give us today our daily bread. Now, we don't want that. And human nature tells us not to get daily bread. In fact, that's why everybody went to the grocery stores and cleared out all the shelves, because they want weekly, they want monthly, they want yearly. And Jesus teaches us not to live that way. Jesus tells us today is all we have. And it says, give us this day our daily bread. Sure, it's talking about physical sustenance, but he's also talking about we're going to pray to God to give us our daily grace that we need. He's going to give you enough grace to make it today. He goes on that same chapter to say, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Now, in my book, the reason I have that chapter in there is because I talk about our story with our daughter, and I remember back when she was about 3 days old, I was in the hospital, and they told us, your daughter will never do anything. She will never do anything for herself. And I remember leaning up against the hospital wall. My dad was standing there beside me, and I was at the bottom. I was at the bottom of my spiritual journey. I was just struggling, and I was sitting there thinking, I'm 25 years old. I can't imagine being 50 years old and changing my 25-year-old daughter's diaper because she wouldn't be able to do anything for herself. And I couldn't imagine doing that. And there was a lady in our church just a few days later. She spoke to me, and she had a son with special needs. And she told me, Robin, you can't think about 25 years from now. You just think about today. And you take it one day at a time. And God's going to give you the grace to make it today. And she told me the most cliche thing, you know. Like, we've all heard this. One day at a time. So cliche. But in a moment like this, in a season like this, where there's so much darkness, it can bring so much peace. You don't have to worry about 10 years from now. You don't have to worry about 5 years from now, or 2 years from now, or even next month. You have today. That's all you have. So, man, at that moment, there was so much peace that came over me, and I thought, I can do today. I can make it today. I can change your diaper today. And here we are 18 years later, and I do that. I do that function now, 18 years later, and it's still the same thing. I just need to do it today. I just need to do it one time. And God will continually give you the grace that you need for each day. It just comes in one day allotments. And so we need to pray that. We need to believe that. And I'm going to tell you, 95% of you that are watching this right now, wherever you are across the world, 95% of us have been troubled over things that are not actually happening in the moment. We're troubled over things that could happen in the future. And here's the problem that we have. When we focus on what could happen in the future, we miss out on what we have in the moment. Let me say that one more time. That was good. Let me say that one more time. When we focus on what could happen in the future, we miss out on what we have in the moment. And I just think about the moments. I mean, like last night, I was just playing basketball with my kids. We were out there on the driveway playing basketball, and it was a precious, precious moment. And I just sat in that moment and played. And I want to say I beat them still. I want to claim that for a little bit longer. But anyway, we're sitting there playing, and a tarantula, big spider, comes walking across the sidewalk, and it was just, I thought, there's so many rich things that are happening in our life today. We'll never get today back. And if I spend all my moments fretting over what may happen in the future, I will miss today. I will miss the moment. Here's one more little excerpt I want to read to you from my book. It says, Jesus knew that the prospect of future disappointment and imminent danger could cripple our effectiveness today. He knew that, not because he's God, but because he experienced it as a human himself. He knew we needed to be effective today, so he preached this powerful truth, let tomorrow worry about itself, get it right today, nail today. I want to leave you with one final thought, and we're going to go back to Mary's story. Mary's moment with Jesus was worship. One of the best things that we can do in the moment is worship Jesus. She poured out something so valuable, and that moment was so powerful. Jesus was in that moment. It was meaningful to him. It was 12 ounces of perfume. Jesus said something very important, and I read it earlier, and you probably didn't hear it because it's not something we really focus on when we read this story. But he says, "This was for my burial." Now, that burial wouldn't happen for 6 days. So what this means is that Mary's moment with Jesus actually comforted Jesus through the worst season of his life. So as he's grieving in the Garden of Gethsemane, he can smell Mary's perfume. As he's led to the court and he's beaten and he's abused and he's mocked, he can smell Mary's perfume. When he was nailed to the cross, dying for each one of us, he can smell and he's comforted by Mary's worship. But not only did Jesus smell it, but remember, it was on Mary's hair too. So as Mary was going through that week, she had that same remnant. She was still in that moment. And I just want to encourage you, there's moments of worship that you can have with God right now that's going to get you through the worst season of your life. Be in the moment with Jesus. Worship him. Give him the best of what you have. It's not going to be perfume, but it may just be your time. It could be your resources. But give God yourself during these moments. Worship God in these moments. I'm telling you, as you walk through these dark moments, these dark hours, you're going to experience the presence of the Lord. It's going to be an aroma around you. It's going to be the Spirit of God, the presence of God. He's going to linger with you through these dark seasons. So I want us to pray right now, and then we're going to take communion. And if you haven't gathered up a little drink or a piece of bread, I want to give you a chance right now to gather that. But we're going to pray, and we're going to just believe and trust that God's in this moment with us. Remember, we're never going to have this moment again. So let's make it count. Let's make it important. Lord, we surrender our heart to you right now. We are in this moment. We're not thinking about anything else but God, you and us. We long to be in your presence and we long to be connected to you so intimately, so profoundly, God, that no matter what we do, no matter what activities this week has in store for us, no matter what they say on the news, no matter what happens, you are with us. You're going to be with us. You're already in the future. God, let us seize the opportunity and seize the moment to be with our family right now, to be with you right now, to just be in your presence, Lord, to not rush it, to not force it, but instead to let go and trust that you're in total control. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have some of these elements here. I have some elements if y'all want to take some. I spaced them out so that you wouldn't touch socially distanced the communion. All right, I'm going to start this little segment with my head bowed, and that's probably where I'll come in with the edit. So, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this moment. Jesus took the bread and said, "This is a symbol of my body, which is broken for you." Meaning the body of Christ is what accomplishes the work, the duty that is necessary to be an overcomer, to be forgiven, to be right with God, but also the work that's required today for you to have what you need to make it. And so when you take communion, what you're saying is, I'm not able to give myself the grace. I'm not able to get accomplished what needs to happen for me to have a good day. Instead, I'm trusting in the work of Jesus. That's what the body is all about, that Jesus' body has accomplished the work. So let's pray. Lord, we trust in your work. We trust in what you earn for us. We believe, Jesus, and trust that your grace is sufficient for every need that we have. And we take that now in honor of you. If you'll take the bread and eat it. Then he took the cup, which is filled with wine, and he held it up and he blessed it. And he said, this is a symbol of my blood. And the blood brings new life. The blood is what brings you the power and the amazing grace that's going to give you the life that you've always wanted. So when we take the cup, what we're saying is, God, we trust that you are going to bring us the life that we want and the life that we need, and then it's not going to be because of us. So this is a full confession of our faith and trust in Jesus right now, in a submission and a humbling of ourselves. So God, we take this and bless it, and thank you, God, for the work that you've done, for the goodness that's coming, for the new life that's on the other side of this virus, for the provision that you're going to provide for us, the finances and the ability to make it and to provide for our family the needs that we have. God, what we're saying right now is we believe in you, Jesus, to make that provision. Thank you, Lord. We take it now in honor of that.